062 Dharma, 23rd of September 2012, The Servant.
I prepared my message. It happens that though it was boiling in my heart, the Lord had his own agenda. And this morning, he visited me and gave me the message I want to share with all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we can close our eyes and say a word of prayer for our brother Roy. See, he's struggling a bit at the back. Ask the Lord to touch him. Fantastic. Before even we pray, he's with us here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. 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 We give you glory, Father, and we praise your name. We appreciate your grace and your presence in our midst. We thank you for our brother Roy. We know that what you've started in him, you'll bring it to the end. Because you never abandon your work in the middle. You always finish what you've started. We thank you, O Lord, for the total, the complete healing. We are expectant, very expectant. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for this moment, O Father. You knew that every single person who is in this place will be here today. That's why, oh Lord, you chose to change the message that I have already prepared to give me what you had in your own plan. Amen. We are so humbled, oh Lord, and we thank you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of our message today is My Servant. Wow. Amen. My Servant. Amen. As we were worshiping, I thought that it was good to add something to this title. The Servant in Me. We'll get there. Fantastic. And as you can see there, it written, my servants will succeed. Maybe in your Bible is written, my servants will prosper. Isaiah 52 verse 13. My servants will succeed. Kings will be speechless, for they will see what they had not been told. They will ponder things they had never heard. It's powerful. Things that they have never seen. Amen. The revelation will come to them and they will see them and wonder, all this time, why no one opened our eyes to see? Why nobody told us about these things, about the servant? Kings, nations, they will be speechless they will be astonished. And those who heard those things for centuries, but never grasped the revelation, never understood, they will be jealous and try to fight that revelation. Isaiah chapter 52, starting from verse 13 and going down to chapter 53 from 1 to 12. In fact, the whole of Isaiah 53, it has only 12 verses. We're going to read, if someone can help me, in the Bible that many of us have here, the version, because mine is a bit different.
From Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 52, you start from verse 13, and you go down to read the whole chapter 53.
Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up, and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred before more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him, for what they had been told, them they will see. What they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of a parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one of from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And for this generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, to put him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and will be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will be divided, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressions. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors.
Amen. Glory be to the Lord. I remember when I was at Andrew, he said to me that it was impossible for Jesus to die because willingly he gave his own life. I mean, he had the possibility to say, no, I won't die for these sinners. I won't take their place. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong that deserved death and the death of the cross. That's what in chapter 53, verse 4, it's written here, in fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered, yet we regarded him as punished, stricken and afflicted by God. But he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. It was because of our sins. He didn't commit any sin. So he had the right to say, no, I don't want to die for them. He was innocent. And I shared with him what I heard a preacher saying, that God is so good that he cannot forgive sins. Do you agree with him? God is so good that he cannot forgive sins. So he kept a bit of silence, and I hear a no coming there, and then he added, unless the price is paid. For sins to be forgiven, the price has to be paid. Someone has to shed blood for your sin to be forgiven. And Jesus did that. To prove the love of God for us, he did that. Let us digress a bit and go to the history to understand what is going on. The text we read is talking about the servant. Starting from that verse 13 of chapter 52. In my Bible is written, see how my servant will succeed or will prosper. The Lord is talking about his servant. People trying to find out and to know who is that servant is not in unison that everybody is saying the servant is Jesus. No. The Jewish perception of the servant is completely different from the Christian perception regarding the servant. And among Jewish, you have two perceptions. The majority is giving an interpretation on this particular verse about two messiahs. The first messiah being Joseph, who they consider to be the suffering messiah. Here they are not talking about Joseph that the Christians are talking about. the husband of Mary. No. We're talking about the ancient Joseph here. And they're talking about another Messiah, Ben David. This second Messiah is destined to glory. They're seeing in him the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They're waiting to see him ruling for them to have the power they have been seeking for, waiting for. So the expectation that they have for the Messiah is not about one Messiah. It's about two Messiahs. Though for us Christians, we know and we believe only in one Messiah, but who has two appearances. He came to die so that our sins can be forgiven. He took our place upon that cross. He shed the holy blood. He shed his blood so that we can be forgiven and cleansed. That's why we sang here that when we draw near him, there is no fear. There is no guilt. I don't know about the things you did in your life before meeting Jesus. Some of us might have done things that when the devil is looking at them, is reminding them those things that, remember, you did this. You did that. Don't lie to your conscience that you are freed. No, you did this that year when you were 15 or 16 or 18. He can remind you those things time after time. But the reality is that when we draw near Jesus, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. Because he paid the price. He shed his blood for us. No one has the right to condemn us. Even the devil himself. Nobody can stand before us and say, you are guilty. No. That's why we made that powerful declaration here. Yes, of course, before I knew the Lord, I did things that were not acceptable to God. But I came to Jesus, I'm forgiven. But the story is not ending there. Even now in the Lord, as long as I'm in this flesh, this body, I can make mistakes. And when my flesh leads me to make mistakes, I can come to him. He will forgive me. It's not the green light of consciously making mistakes, living a sinful life. Because we know that we can draw near to him and be forgiven. If we really love him, then we'll do things that please him. Amen. In spite of our good will of pleasing him every time, we can come to a time of weakness. Against our will, we find ourselves committing a sin. He's not rejecting us. That's why today, the Spirit of the Lord insisted, starting with what Ken was sharing with us, without him knowing the songs that were programmed for us to sing. And the songs came to confirm what he was talking about. And Ephesians chapter 1 came to give us more light. Jesus did what we were unable to do for ourselves. But for the Jewish, he's not in the picture. It's about the Messiah being Joseph and being David. They are connecting them to Leah and Rachel. When they're talking about being Joseph, they're looking at Rachel. Joseph born from Rachel. And when they're talking about being David, they're trying to connect him to Judah, from whom you can classify David. Well, it's not only about them. Even secret societies, as they are trying always to oppose the work that Jesus completed on the cross for the salvation of the humanity, they have to knock him down somewhere. So they join this view of Jewish and they support the view of Ben Joseph as the Messiah. All that to reject what Jesus did for you and me. And that's why you found this saying that they have there in Israel, Yeshua. And when they're talking about Yeshua, they refer to this whole saying, Yemash Shemo Vezikro, which says, let his name and his memory be forgotten. So when Christians, let me use the Hebrew word or saying, Yeshua, when Christians believe in Yeshua, or Jesus as we call him in English, for them, they go back to Yeshua. Let his name be forgotten. However, the text that we read, it speaks for itself. Jesus paid the price. He did everything for you and me to be totally, completely forgiven, cleansed, no matter what. Even those that the world can no more accept. Those that, according to the Roman culture, they were hanged on the cross because they were vomited by the society. And when they were hanging them, they were putting something there around the neck on which they wrote the kind of crime they have committed. They will put them there in the morning, and these criminals will spend the whole day on that cross. So people who were passing, they could read the kind of crime they committed and insult them. So these people on the cross, they were suffering from the pain of being hanged on the cross, and from the weather as well. If it's rain, the rain will pour on them. If the sun is really burning, it will burn them there. And people passing, they will insult them, they will spit on them, they will say all sorts of awful things. And by the evening, when they can't really sustain or support the pain, they die. But they die with shame. Shame about their own personality, because the world has vomited them. The world was unable to support them. They don't have any more place within the society because they are criminals. And shame is put also on the families. Because if I'm there on the cross, people will not only see that I'm a shameful person, but my parents also will take the blame. We share the blame. My children will have the share of disgrace that I have brought to them. And that's where you can now understand why, when Jesus was hanged on the cross, the devil saw in that a total victory. According to the culture of the time, it's only criminals who were hanged on the cross. And they were despised by everybody. So the devil saw in that I got him this time. He's also vomited by the society. Do you remember that all his disciples ran? No one was able to stand there and defend and die with him. Doomed to be hanged on the cross. Who could share the blame, the disgrace with him? No one. And the devil thought that the victory is total. Yes, the victory was total, not on his side. He didn't understand the ways of God, how the Lord operates. And that's why we go back now to that verse 13 of chapter 52 of Isaiah. It says that, see how my servant will succeed.
Yes. Amen.
See how he will prosper.
Yes.
But how? Now that's where the mystery is. Being hanged on the cross? Yes, the wisdom of God was hidden inside. Who can put God's mind in a box? No one. And the word prosper there from Hebrew, yasekil, is talking about wisdom. That see how my servant will prosper. Breathe, as I wrote there, he will act intelligently and will succeed. You might not understand what the Lord is doing. You cannot work out with your mind, with your intelligence, what the Lord is doing. That's why we sang here that no matter any kind of season we are in, we will praise him.
Amen.
Let's take the example of Roy.
Amen.
Roy cannot desire to be in this position.
No. No.
And it's not because of his sins that he's in this position.
No.
Even his pastor does not know why Roy is in this position. and no one here knows. We were laughing with him, talking, chatting, sharing with us everything he has done for the Lord, how he was standing in the marketplace, preaching, proclaiming the goodness of God. And how someone who has been serving the Lord like that can be find himself in this position? Who can comprehend that? No one. Except God himself. Amen. So to the eyes of man, only condemnation can come. Those who think that they are so spiritual, they say, Roy must have done a sin. Wrong. And others can say, maybe he didn't give his tithe. Then curse came upon him. Wrong. But God, who knows what he's doing, he knows the reason. And still, his glory can be seen in Roy's condition. Though he doesn't have that loud voice he used to have at the marketplace, but God can work miracles and wonders through some lives before even Roy gets completely healed and restored back to his initial health condition position. In this same condition, the Lord can work miracles. Amen. He can speak to you. He can speak to me. When I see Roy not cursing the Lord, but praising the Lord in this condition, it's a teaching to me. Amen. It's a whole teaching. I'm still walking. Know that I'm holier than Roy. I go to bed in the night, in the morning, I see that the Lord has restored my breath of life. He has renewed his mercies. I can walk without struggling. I can make my breakfast without struggling. Not that I'm holier than Roy. No. So why not me praising the Lord? So whenever I tend to complain about my situation, this or that I wish to have or to see being done and is not done, the Spirit of the Lord can remind me, Roy, how he's coming to church. He's not cursing the Lord. He's praising the Lord in spite of his condition. And it's a powerful teaching that will bring me back to the line. That why are you pitying yourself? Why are you complaining? If Roy is not complaining, why are you complaining? And in God's time, he will make him walk again. Amen. Talk again. Amen. According to his perfect will. Now, the miracle is whether God makes him walk now or tomorrow, he's still praising the Lord. Yeah. This life is full of challenges. All sorts of challenges. But the promise is that the servant of the Lord will do things, will act intelligently, and will succeed. He will not fail. And that's what Jesus did. He accepted to lay down his life. Nobody forced him, even when, as a human, he saw the kind of humiliation he will support for you and me. The kind of pain. How people will spat on him. How he will be beaten. How he will bleed. How he will be disfigured. I love that movie that they did. How do you call it? The Passion. I don't know if the guy was beaten for real or it was just things they did behind the scene. But yeah, it gave a glimpse of how Christ suffered. Now, before undergoing all those pain, all those suffering, he knew. In the smallest details, he knew everything he's going to suffer. Still, he accepted to go through it. It was so painful before even he got through the whole process. That's why he said, Lord, if that is possible, let this cup. But not my will. What I came to do, still I want to do it. Amen. He knew that if he refused to do that, nobody could do it for you and me. No one. No one. That's why boldly we can proclaim that he is the truth. Amen. He is the way, not a way, not a truth, but the one and only, is not a religion. Reason why we are not preaching a religion. He is the only one who was able to save and who saved me and you. Today, our heart went to the Sunni Muslim who beat themselves till they bleed. Why? Because the religion did not teach them that they can just draw near Jesus and be forgiven. And have God's pardon, peace, joy, and be freed from all the sins. So still, as they don't know if they can be forgiven, they have to try to pay the price for themselves, and all that is in vain. May the Lord help them. May the Lord help them. My servant will prosper. He will act intelligently and will succeed. He lives now in you. No matter what kind of situation you're going through, he is in you. He is in you. Is he going to fail? There is no failure in him. The devil can start drawing your attention to how big your problem is, how big your situation is, how worse your condition is. At the point that you're going to forget that Jesus, the servant, he lives in you. The price. He already paid the price. The victory is in him. And him, he is in you. Him, possible. You see, I don't have to wait for you to be on television, to be a Joyce Meyer, Joe Austin, for me to pay attention to the things that you say. Because if you become a Joyce Meyer, a Joel Austin, and you say, impossible, the whole world will say, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it clearly. Him possible. He lives in you. He's not far from you. He's not there in heaven for you to ask, who will ascend there and get him for me? He's not beneath the earth for you to say, who will go down there to find him for me? Him possible. He's in you. Yes, you might be struggling, but you don't know what he's doing. And what he does it intelligently at a point that your human mind will not comprehend. The only thing you have to do, trust him. Ruth, just trust him. And one day will come. He will honor your trust. He will honor your trust. And you will prosper. Because there is no failure in him. There is no failure in him. You will prosper. Him possible will make everything possible for you and in you. Joseph, the one that we found in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 37, when you read verse 23 and 29, it can summarize for you what happened to him. How his own blood brothers betrayed him, hated him at a point that they took him, threw him in a cistern. Fortunately, it was empty. There was no water inside. He could drown. When they were eating the food he brought to them, enjoying the meal, he was there alone, abandoned, rejected by his own brothers. And Jesus came to his own. He brought them forgiveness of sins. He brought them freedom, salvation. And they abandoned him. Lonely. His own disciples ran away from him after spending those gracious and precious 3 years with him. They slept together. They ate together. They shared good moments together. But when the danger came, they ran. He found himself alone. As if that was not enough, Joseph was sold by his own brother to become a slave. And that's what they did also to Jesus. One of his disciples sold him. But that was not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story. Where Joseph went, the favor of God, the grace of God was upon him. And in chapter 39, verse 20 to 23, in brief there, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. But while he was there in prison, something happened. In prison, he was not free, but in prison. The prison warden paid no attention to anything Joseph did because Adonai, or the Lord, was with him. And whatever he did, Adonai prospered. The Lord prospered. Everything Joseph was touching, was doing, were there in prison. So, for the Lord to use you, he won't wait when you get that husband you need, or that healing you're looking for, or you pay off that mortgage, you become debt free. In your current situation, he can use you anyway. Amen. If your position now, or your condition now, you might call it, according to the human understanding, a prison. You can see in your current condition or situation a prison. God's grace can cause you to prosper in that prison. He is not limited by circumstances. He's not. He's not at all. Preachers will tell you the time usually when we see great power coming through our preaching is when he just surprises. He changed our schedule. He changed our message. And you find yourself there, he said, this is the word for you to deliver to my people. But you are not well prepared. You can't rely on your own ability. Your own spirit is not telling you that you had to prepare like this, you had to put this illustration, you had to put, as I saw at Mattesi, an English student, in his preaching, a joke has to be part of it. Well, it's different from where I come from. We are so serious that we don't put jokes in the preaching, in the message. So you are not prepared, but the Lord uses you anyway. And power is manifested. Because whatever we do is not about us. It's about him. Amen. It's about him. So the same way, even there in the prison, Joseph did wonders, were used by God. Jesus, when he went to the dead, he freed them. When the devil said, he's finished, he's now in the tomb. Even there in the tomb, he was working wonders. In your prison, what you call prison, you can call prison. The Lord, if he's trusted by you, he will work wonders. And that's how Paul could say, though poor, we make many rich. Christian, did you know that if you pray for a paralyzed person, even though you need the Lord to make you stand finally on your feet, God can use you to make a paralyzed person to walk. He can do that. When you think that I'm not worthy, he is worthy. Amen. You see that you can't, he can. Amen. After all, impossible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that servant of the Lord lives in you. Do you believe that? He lives in you. Before you come out of prison, as Joseph came out of prison, and finally he sat on that throne, he ruled Egypt. Nobody could tell that this man will rule this country in which he's a prisoner. No one could tell. You belong to the Lord. You have promises.
Amen.
They shall come to pass.
Praise God. Amen.
Every single one that he gave you,
Amen.
It will happen.
Thank you, God.
I was driving, coming here with Rebecca, and we were listening to a song, one of the Congolese gospel singer. In this song, he says, take me a picture and don't throw it away. Keep it safe. Because I have the promises of God. I will not die before those promises to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And when they will be fulfilled, take that picture again. Look at it and look at me in the fulfillment of God's promises. Then you'll know that I have a God.
Amen.
I love that song. I really love it. Today, people can look at you and despise you. You can tell them about all the God promises that are on your life. They will hear, but they might not understand them. They can sit with you for a few years. They don't see that promise being fulfilled. They can run away. Don't be discouraged. You are the one who received the promise. You know exactly, word by word, what the Lord promised you to do.
Amen.
He will do it.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And when it will happen, those who will be present around you, faithful ones, they will have their share. They will. How many closest friends have run away from you? Because they're looking at your current situation. They weigh you, they devalue you, and they say, you are useless. Why should I continue to hang around you? Let me go there. There is a crowd there. In the context of a church, they can choose to go to a bigger church where music is refined according to the world. Every tune is in place. Light making the place so beautiful, shining. The hall itself where they are meeting is fantastic. You can think that BBC is there doing a production. But they don't know what the Lord has promised you. Even if you've told them, they didn't get the revelation. That's why these Jewish, they heard about the Messiah. They read about the Messiah. Did they believe? No. We close in there. It's written that nations or kings will wonder how these things were not told to us. And that's exactly when Jesus rose from the dead. It happened. As the Gentiles, the nations, we heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And we believed. Now we are wondering, how come Jewish who heard this news before, Jewish who have the Torah, the law, Jewish who have the prophet, how come didn't they believe? Can we answer that question? We are astonished, we are speechless when we see the goodness of Jesus, the freedom that is in Jesus, the salvation that is in Him. Amen. We wonder how then they didn't understand. In the same way, people will come closer to you. You'll tell them everything. They will wait and don't see something happening. They will run away from you. But when the time will come, other people will wonder how the people, how they got to run away from you. Because in that moment, they will see your grace in the whole glory. And we know how the world operates. When you are in that glory. Yes. I'm going to want you. Everybody will want you. Hang on to those promises.
Amen.
Hang on there. The one you believed in and you continue to believe in, he's not a liar.
Amen.
He is not a liar. And he's not dead. He's alive. He will fulfill every single promise. He will. Even if you don't feel it, it's not about feeling. It's about trusting Him. You believe and you trust. Let us stand. Hallelujah. I said it before here, and I repeat myself. We have to seize God's moment, God's time. When He changes a message, it's for a purpose. In my soul, with all my heart, I believe that this word came just for you. From what Ken read here and explained to us, the songs we sang, the declaration we made, the exhortation Andrew brought, every single thing was planned by God.
Amen.
Don't condemn yourself again. Now, each one of us, nobody will condemn the other.
Amen.
It's not by mistake that I'm here today, that you are here today. It was in God's plan. So don't take yourself or write yourself off when God is not writing you off.
Amen.
We are a family, every single one of us. Include me, include you. Every single one of us who are here, we are a family. And this message came especially for you. No more guilt, no more condemnation.
Amen.
Him possible, He wants to make everything possible in you today. Amen. Just tell him, Lord, here I am. Amen. Fulfill your will in my life now. Not tomorrow, but now. If you feel like asking him to give you strength in a particular area of your life, for you to be restored, for you to stand back on your feet, tell him. You don't have to shout. Just tell him. He's listening to you. Our eyes are closed, please. Present your heart desire to him. The servant, he can do anything in you and want to make you a prosperous person. This is his time to work wonders in you, miracles in you. He wants to make you succeed. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to raise your voice, you have that freedom in the Lord now. You can raise also your voice and say that prayer to him. We will be blessed through that prayer as well. If you wish just to say that prayer in your heart, yes, take this time. Lord, this morning you told me that my servant will prosper. Amen. I believe it. And I believe that that servant is you, Jesus, and you live in me. Amen. I trust in you. I recognize the work that you completed on the cross to give me salvation, to give me healing, to give me joy, to give me peace, to bring tranquility in my life, to restore everything in my life so that I can praise the name of the Lord and proclaim the goodness of the Lord to the nations. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I thank you, Lord. Now that I've shared your word to your people, you know each and everyone's life. You know areas of struggle in my brother, in my sister. You know areas of need in my brother and my sister. I pray, as your word cannot return to you without accomplishing its mission, let this word do what you want it to do. And therefore, I proclaim total freedom. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. I proclaim total healing. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I proclaim breakthrough. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I proclaim healing and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I proclaim restoration. Amen. In Jesus' name. What the locusts have eaten, I proclaim the restoration of them thousandfold in Jesus' name. Amen. What the enemy thought that he has stolen, I proclaim the restoration of them thousandfold in Jesus' name. Father, I bring the messenger you sent in this church. And I bring before you the vision you gave him. I bring before you all the promises you gave him. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the tool you chose today to bring your message, I proclaim success and prosperity in the vision you gave him in Jesus' name. I proclaim success and prosperity in all the promises you gave him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those who were discouraged and thought that everything is finished and there is no need to continue living this life, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim consolation. Let there be comforted now in Jesus' name. You are not a liar. You promised and you have to fulfill. Let your peace that surpasses every intelligence be the share of my sister right now. Be the share of my brother right now. In Jesus' name. I command trouble to leave my sister, to leave my brother, in Jesus' name. Self-condemnation and guilt, I chase you out of this servant of God, of this child of God, in Jesus' name. Low self-esteem, I command you to leave my sister, to leave my brother, in Jesus' name. Because everyone here is special in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord Jesus. 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 With the same anointing in this place, Father, we bring our brother Roy to you. Father, we pray that you remember those days that he was proclaiming your word to the lost. How he was pouring his heart for the lost to be saved. Remember, O Lord, and comfort your servant. If consolation for Roy is for him to be completely healed, to stand back on his feet, and to have his voice back. As a church, we stand with him. And we ask you today, O Lord Jesus, to touch him. To touch him. And comfort his soul. In Jesus' name. We speak healing upon you, Roy. In Jesus' name, be healed. And we command disability, illness, disease to leave your body in Jesus' name. We cast it out of your body in Jesus' name. Let your muscles be touched by the power of the Lord right now. In Jesus' name, let your speech be restored completely. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for our church, Lord, and we ask you to bless it now. Those that the devil pushed out of this church, and you still count them as part of this family, we call them in Jesus' name, wherever they are. We command the devil to release them right now in Jesus' name. And we ask you, O Lord, to touch them. Let the power of the Holy Spirit work wonders in them and bring them back. They are more than welcome because this is their family. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We know that you're taking us places, and we believe that your glory will be seen in this church far beyond what we have so far experienced. And we thank you for those that we never yet meet, Lord, that you're going to add to our number in this church. We thank you as well for the nation's door that you are opening for us. The November trip to Rwanda. Amen. The invitation to Uganda. The invitation to Congo and other nations. We thank you, Lord. Because we believe that with you, we shall see glory. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.